Hi, everybody. It's Chris here from the Gallagate Shots YouTube channel. Just to let you know, as always, this podcast is now part of the 90 Minute Football Network and proudly sponsored by www.pt-4-u.co.uk. Enjoy the episode. Hi everybody, welcome back to the Gallagher Shots YouTube channel for your post-match patter for Newcastle United 1, Norwich City 1. As you can see, I'm joined by Decker tonight. You've got perspective from both angles. You've got me who was there, taking it in. You've got Decker who was got the overall experience at home, seeing different camera angles and everything else.
Yep.
Decker, let's get straight in with nearly 100 people. They're watching now, and I'm going to start with a difficult question for you.
Okay.
Kieran Clark.
It's not difficult.
Is he the reason why we haven't won that game today?
100%, yes. Yeah, 100%. I think, just to quickly comment on the starting lineup, I was thrilled to see we have four at the back. I think I mentioned last night when we were here.
Yep,
I
said four at the back, yep.
I'd love to see four at the back. I wasn't expecting 4-4-2, and if I'm honest with you, when I seen the lineup, I was a little bit, what shapes are going to be? But having said all that, I was happy with four at the back. Now, the problem is what I'm going to say now is, you're just saying that because of what happened.
Yeah.
But Kieran Clark has been a worry for me for weeks. I've sat here and said he shouldn't be in the team. It should be Fernandes.
We saw at the start of the season errors by Kieran Clark, and we've saw it again today.
Shocking.
How many times since Fede first lost that starting position in the team, we've been screaming for him to come back in the team, and it's a damn shame he gets his chance because Kieran Clark has been sent off in the 9th minute against Norwich City in a ridiculous situation. I don't know what has gone through his head at this point. It's piss poor.
It's panic. That's definitely what it is. Panic, stupidity. But when you think of just how important that game is, you know,
huge.
Every player would have known that. I mean, Fraser's interview, which I must say was brilliant, the training one where he's saying, like, we all know this is must win. Even he said, we feel this is a must win game. But when the mistake he does to allow Pukki to be in is bad enough, but you've just got to take your medicine and hope Dubravka saves you, right? Because you'd rather be 1-0 down and still have 11 men. You've got 80 minutes to go.
If we're 1-0 down, they've scored within the 10th minute. We've seen it the last two home games. We've took the lead. Spurs came back and won that game. Brentford came back and drew that game. So if you go goal down in the first 10 minutes, it's not a huge deal compared to having 10 men on the field. It changes everything.
Absolutely. And you think of all the work that Eddie Howe would have been doing with him in training, just gone out the window. Like, you know, the whole match preparation and what he was looking to do was gone. There's no words for it, is it? There is no words. And I think for me personally, I wouldn't have played him anyway. I kept saying this, but
he's now
nowhere near that starting lineup again. He has to do a lot. I don't know what it is he has to do, but he has to do an awful lot to repay faith. Howe looked so annoyed, rightfully so as well. And to be honest, there's only one flash, mind you, so I could be wrong when I say this, but Howe didn't even acknowledge Clark when he walked past him. He just walked off.
The thing is, you know straight away, because Clark doesn't even try to argue his case. He starts walking off the field and he gets probably about 2/3 off the field. Then he stops when he thinks, hang on a second, this might be going to VAR. But then quickly, the referee just turns around and goes, carry on.
Yeah.
You're off.
It's
stupidity, mate. It's absolute brain dead from him. Brain dead.
And we have that in a lot of though, don't we? Certainly with defenders.
It's individual mistakes once again.
And it's the same individual errors coming from the same area of the field. It's Lascelles maybe giving a mistake, Richie doing a mistake, or this time now it's Clark's turn. And it's the same thing I'm seeing week in and week out. And you can't, no manager can prepare for that. You can do all the great training that you're going to do and the great ideas, motivating players. But when someone does that, there's nothing you can do about it.
So the back four that we end up with, is that the back four that you start every single game from now on?
100%. Yeah. I thought Lewis was very good. I was really impressed with Lewis. It's hard to judge some of them, you know, going forward. And so I thought Mankio had a really good shift, really put a good shift in.
Single man queue, I thought he wasn't really using the area in front of him well. There was times where I'm sat in the strawberry corner, acres of space in front of him, you know, absolute acres, and he just wasn't pushing on.
Okay.
He just sat in that defensive role.
Okay. Because sometimes he made some amazing runs, but we didn't find
him often enough. Honestly, mate, loads of times. Okay. And obviously, I sit near Mark at the game, so I'm probably wrong, to be fair.
No. There was a lot of space there.
The thing is, when you go a man down, and we saw there today, is that Norwich start using those flanks. It's wide men every single time, and it takes us a light year to get to those wide men.
Yeah.
Because we're so compact in the middle of the field.
Yeah, totally agree. You've got two tactics, haven't you, when you go down to 10. When you make the substitution without the ball, there isn't much difference. Mm. You know, you've still got a back four, you've still got the three in front. There isn't that much difference.
The thing is, though, if I'd have been in the back five, then you probably, the attacking formation doesn't probably really change a huge deal, but because we're back four,
yes,
Howe didn't have any of that choice to go, you're off.
I felt sorry for Fraser. You know, someone has to be the four guy, and unfortunately it was him. And I agree, I was getting worried about, because obviously they were having acres out wide, and it meant your three in midfield, the two wide guys of the midfield, like Joe Linton, he absolutely works his arse off today.
I think it's about time now. I think, what's it now? Is this the third or fourth game for Eddie Howe?
Third, isn't it?
But even before that, I think now, this season, maybe we'll have to start giving this kid a little bit of credit, because he looks like a completely different player. Once again, him and Shelvey, it's a flip of a coin between who gets man of the match.
I thought Shelvey was great again, I must admit. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult for him as well, but I thought he put a real shift in as well. He was putting his foot in. He's trying his best. He's still doing them odd stupid. There was a few times I got really annoyed where we've really been under the caution, we've won a free kick, and he's looking for a quick one to Wilson. I'm thinking, God, it's not going to be on, you know. Yeah. But having said that, going back to Joe Linton, what I loved about, I know he worked really hard, right?
And Absolute grafter, man.
And he kept putting his leg in to intercept the pass or whatever, but he never went hiding either for the ball. Mm-hmm. He would come in difficult areas of the field and still ask for the ball. To flip this to another Joe, Willock again, like, just, I'm not really sure. It's difficult when they go down to 10. It is difficult, of course it is, but he lost the ball a lot of times early on.
Yeah.
And obviously you wouldn't have seen Eddie Howe blasted Willock for that. He lost it twice in a row, and Eddie Howe had a right go at him because he was like, wake up, you're saying, wake up, you know. But then when Joe Linton was doing his great work, Eddie Howe was like whacking the badge, like, going, that's the way to get in type of thing. It was great to see.
It's once again, mate, and I think it's about time we started, honestly, putting respect on his name, because this season, you've got to give him credit. You have to give Joe credit. And last week, it was probably, I would say, Shelvey against Arsenal, sorry, that gets man of the match. But the game before that, Joe, today, Joe once again, absolutely, the amount of grass that he must be covering has to be second to none.
It's not a side of the game that I think many people thought he had. I think still a lot of people judge him on goals and all the rest of it, right? Mm. But I think where you have to applaud him is his work rate, and he never ever gave in today. And to be fair, a lot of them didn't. I have to be fair there. They definitely put a shift in and worked hard, because we went down with 10 men, and to be quite honest with you, Norwich didn't really hurt in any real moment of the game. And I think they do deserve credit for that, to be honest.
Well, half time came along, and we are sat there, as me, Adam, Mark, and Ash at half time, thinking, these are horrendous.
Oh,
absolutely piss poor. We're down at 10 men, and they can't even get near a goal. Absolutely piss poor, mate.
Never turn around once.
Nah, not once. Not once, obviously, apart from the goal, which we'll get onto. Yeah, but, mate, I think today, if we have 11 men on the field, we get a few goals today, like, 100%. I thought, we'll just quickly go through everything. But Saint, I thought Saint was off the pace again tonight. I just thought,
I just think he's got no chance in that setup, in terms of, it was very much hit and hope. He's getting the ball and there's like, there's just him. Mm. There was just him. Same as Wilson. Yeah. Wilson didn't get a kick because you just haven't got a chance.
Third game in the row, really, where Wilson's been quite quiet. Yeah.
Sam got a kick. He's got no chance. He's just got no chance because we're not getting in anywhere near the right areas. And if I'm going to be a little bit critical here, and people might not agree, but I totally understand, right? We've got 10 men, right? I'm not daft. I've seen the game. I still think, I mean, you are playing Norwich, like, I mean, I still feel you could keep hold of the ball a bit better and be a little bit more, at times, what I thought, and I appreciate we're down with 10 men, but we almost respected them as if they were Man City or something. Mm. Like, we're sat so deep, and I feel I know I had 10 men, but I did feel that we could have kept hold of the ball better, like, if I'm honest.
There's a couple of shouts to me. Something which, obviously, I haven't had a chance to look back at, but there's a lot of people saying, how did Joe Linton not get a penalty?
So he was outside the box. Only just, mind you. But having said that, we're still a free kick.
Wasn't even a foul, though, was it?
No, it didn't get given as a foul, and the referee had the hold of the ball for a while, and I thought that's because VAR were looking at it. Yeah. Maybe they were. But he actually just gave offside, and Joe Linton was furious, and it was a foul, no question about it. Apparently VAR, I think, said that he got a touch on the ball, but it was a foul. But it was, honestly, like, I mean, it would have been a free
ball
kick.
Yeah.
But again, nice to see Joe in that area, you know, on the edge of the box, you know, rather than picking it up deep and stuff.
I think Joe Linton and Shelby are the two players that come out of that game with a huge amount of credit.
I'm glad you've said that about Shelby, actually.
And Fernandez as well. Honestly, this is what really pisses me off, is that we sit here as fans, right? And we know these players. Of course we do. We're watching them week in, week out. We watch the training videos. We watch the interviews. We're sitting chatting shit about them every single Monday night when we're doing the podcast. How is it taking this for him to get back in that team?
I honestly don't know, man. I mean, it's a funny one, because I know a lot of fans, you know, everyone, the people laugh at, don't, and they say, oh, every fan thinks they're a manager and thinks they could do a better job. But it's surprising how many times a fan is right, because obviously you see the game so often and you care so much and you observe so much. But Fernandez, when he came on to a bit of a bloodbath as well, by the way. I mean, we're just out with 10 men. He hasn't played in a while.
You would expect backs against the wall, really, wouldn't you?
He's coming in at a very bad moment, and he was outstanding when he came on. Outstanding. And you know, I'm happy to talk all night, but quickly about the penalty we do get. As I mentioned, you're just coming in here. I loved how it was his header. He was the one that won the header, which then led to the goal. The penalty. But he did really. To be quite honest with you, considering we went out with 10 men, I thought the whole back four played well. I actually do. I think Shea and Fernandez were great. Shea did a shocker thing at the end, which we'll get to. But other than that, I thought they were really strong.
It's really, really hard to sit here as a football fan, Newcastle United fan, and think this player was crap. This player didn't turn up. But once again, we'll go back to the Kevin Clark incident. Yeah. That's the reason the players weren't given that opportunity, because it's when you grow a man down, and you always have that thing where it's a lot harder to play against 10 men than 11. I never really understand that. I really don't. Because maybe it goes more defensively, but you're still a man down at the end of the day, and hitting them on the counter-attack, you think it's a hell of a lot easier.
Yeah.
But there's a few comments in there saying you can't really judge Saint's things like that.
I agree personally.
Yeah, for me, I just thought Saint was, I just feel as if he was off the pace a little bit tonight. I thought he got the ball, and I thought he was. I think the opportunity.
I just don't think he can do anything. I mean, he did one wonderful thing where I actually thought Joe Linton perhaps should have hit the target. He beat two men and he megged one of them lovely, and Joe Linton came onto it on the edge of the box. Yeah, and I thought, I bet Joe in himself thought, I wish I had that one back to maybe work the keeper. But let's be quite honest. I mean, we didn't really offer anything really in the game. And then, of course, that's because it's going to be down to 10 men. But
never really, I don't think we tested Krull.
No, we didn't. And again, I mentioned this last night, or I was talking to someone the day. They got Grant Handley at centre half here. And I'm thinking, we can get at him. Wilson can get at him. But
even 10 men down, you're hoping that you're still getting
Handley. You would think, right? Yeah. You would think. But in fairness, we didn't. We didn't at all. But again, you come back to the start, right? I think we've moved on so much. You cannot get over that Clark incident, how poor that is. It's brain dead. It's stupid. I just can't believe he's done it. I can't believe. The mistake's bad enough, right? But you just hold your hands up and you hope your goalkeeper bails you out.
So the initial mistake is he just flat-footed and like he turns and he's just gone?
No, well, he the ball comes to Clark.
Does it come from a throw and then it's knocked on?
Something like that, yeah. There's something happens and it gets knocked on. And Clark, he tries to pass it to someone, but it hits off Pookie. It's straight at him. Mm. It's a terrible attempt at the pass, if I'm honest. And then he's away. But at that moment, you've just got to hold your hands up and just try and chase him down, but not touch him, obviously.
Yeah.
Dubravka's coming out. There's no chance anyone's going to be able to cover, by the way. That's why it is a straight red. But surely, like, having said that, Clark does that foul 100 times a season, right? But obviously, it's normally where there's players around him and it's a yellow card. And he's done it again. But this time he's the last man. And he would have knew it as soon as he'd done it. He thought, Christ, what have I done that for?
I started walking.
But it's again a reason why I've said so many weeks sitting here, he should not be in that starting.
Do you think this will be his last game now?
I think for a really long time. Listen, you've got a new manager coming in, right? And you're wanting to set the right expectation, the right sort of performances. I think Howard would be like, right, now you're on the bench.
And for some reason that we aren't aware the answer to the question for this one, but Fernandez hasn't been given that opportunity, and now he has, because there's no other option. Basically, Lascelles is suspended. So he then goes and plays Clark and Fabian Schär. Changes the back four completely just so basically Fernandez isn't playing. Then Fernandez has to be brought on. Fernandez has an absolute outstanding game. So Eddie Howe, he cannot go into that Burnley game and not start him as a centre-back.
Oh, no way. No way.
Can't. Would you be shocked if you... In fact, I probably wouldn't be shocked if you go into that Burnley game and Kraft start at centre-back alongside Fabian Schär. It wouldn't shock us. Don't do it this, really
do this,
wouldn't.
Don't do this.
Wouldn't shock us.
Well, a few things I will say is I just want to say I don't know. Obviously, Fernandez has been out a long time. I'd imagine some of that may be an injury. I don't really think it is, but someone called me on Twitter and says, no, what are you talking about? He's been injured. But I'm not quite sure about that. I don't think he has been.
If he had been injured, you'd not think they would come out and say he's been injured?
Yeah, well, exactly, because I thought when Jones was in charge, he didn't put him on the bench. He said it was humiliating to someone with his experience. That tells me he was fit to play then. He just didn't put him on the bench.
Yeah.
And I've never heard of an injury for Fernandez since then. But anyway, for me, he has to start. And if I'm being honest with you, I mean, Lascelles probably is going to walk back in. I hope Richie doesn't come back in.
Oh, Lascelles is only a one-match
ban, isn't
it? It's
only a suspension, so Lascelles might come back in. And I don't want to see Schär dropped, because I thought Schär, certainly first half, was doing some lovely, like, bringing it out from the back. But my concern is he might go back to, well, he can't break Clark, of course, but maybe Lascelles and Schär, maybe, or maybe he goes back to what you've said, maybe Schär, Kraft and Lascelles, maybe he goes back to that, I don't know. He might just match Burnley, which are 4-4-2, which is what they normally play. He might just match that, but... For me personally, if Fernandez is fit enough to be able to play two games in 5 days, because he's played pretty much the full 90, let's be fair, because he got sent off so fucking early.
In fact, he probably has played 90 minutes, because it was 6 minutes added on and 2 minutes in the first half, so yeah.
If he's able to do it, he plays, if he's able to.
No, I agree with you. Right, let's get down to our goal. Like you said, mate, it's Fernandez once again who wins that penalty for us. Why and how has it taken so long for that decision to be given? It was ridiculous. So first of all, the referee says, no, it's not. Then obviously he goes to VAR. There's about 7-8 players around him screaming at him. A lot of players around him. And it takes a good couple of minutes before he even goes to the monitor. Then he goes to the monitor. He's probably there about 30 seconds or a minute. Then obviously gives a penalty. How has that taken so long?
Well, my first question is, in the ground, I'd imagine almost impossible for you to see that.
Mm.
Even though you sit... Did you know? Did you think it was handball, or did you not see it?
It all happened so fast. Well, yeah, it happened so fast. But the player's reaction to me, you think, penalty all day long.
That's exactly what I said to my dad.
I look at the referee, and then I'm thinking, he hasn't had the greatest games. He's similar to the Arsenal game. I thought the referee gave a lot to the opposition, Norwich.
For the first half, he gave us a lot. There was a one on Shelby. Shelby definitely dragged Aaron's down. He gave us a free kick.
The incident that sticks in my mind is that he gives a goal kick to us. Then he looks up. So he's made that decision. Then he looks up. Then he's really close to the ball and the play where it's happened. So the referee gives a goal kick to us. Then he looks up. Then looks at the linesman who's give a corner afterwards, so he just changes his mind and goes with the linesman, even though the linesman miles away, absolutely miles away compared with the referees. I thought,
funny one, yeah. No, I know what you mean,
but I think just because it's Newcastle United, this is our look. I'm thinking this isn't going to get given. This he's going to go to the monitor and go, nah, I was right. But then Mark rightly said, if the referee's going to the monitor, it's because he hasn't given the correct decision.
That's correct,
and he gets a chance to obviously rectify his mistake.
Well, on the telly in real time, no idea. Obviously, similar to you, but the player's reaction told me that's your handball.
Yeah.
Because the sheer volume of the protest was that it's your handball. And honestly, it must have felt like an eternity for yourself, obviously, being there. Because they showed you replay after replay. And the first one, I actually couldn't really see it. The second one, it's a penalty, great, happy days, because his arm is above his head here.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a penalty.
Ironically, is it going on goal as well as on target?
It's on target. Could have went in, actually. Maybe Crew might have gotten there, but it had some power behind it as well. What was mad, though, is they showed you another replay, because even my dad hadn't really said much, and then they showed you another replay almost, how can I put it, like almost from where the referees view, like eye level, and that was the most blatant. And my dad went, oh, Christ, that's definitely a penalty.
Yeah.
When the referee ran over at the side to look at it, they showed him like an almost, I would say, an angle if you were judging if someone was offside. If you were trying to see if someone was offside. That kind of view. And I went, whoa, don't look at that one.
Show me the other one.
Show me the other one. And they didn't show the other one, but it didn't matter anyway. Yeah. It didn't matter. And you give it. And it's one of them, isn't it? When you're down to 10 men, you need to make sure your set pieces count. I appreciate we didn't score from it, but Fernandez got there first, we won the penalty, and then Wilson. Now, I need a question to ask you now.
Mm.
Tim Krul.
You're okay.
What was going on?
This is what Tim Krul does. Tim Krul done this for us, and
he's in the World Cup now.
Yeah, when we got the penalty, and I looked at Adam, who sat to the right, and I went, Adam, I was like, oh, it's fucking Tim Krul. He's going to play these mind games, and he does it. So he started walking towards the fans in the Gallagher, and he started like pointing towards the goal, like, oh, am I going in this goal? Like, just so basically, like,
it was weird.
So he's one of the fans, and like, obviously, the goal's like to his right, so there. Yeah. So he's looking at the fans going. Like, yeah, pointing towards a goal.
I thought he was offering someone out going outside.
No, he's like pointing towards a goal. Then, as if, am I supposed to be going over there? That sort of thing. Then he took a few steps and done it to another little section of the Gallagher. Then another little section to the Gallagher. And I thought, obviously, he's doing his usual thing. Went over the bar, hits the bar, does a little few steps and stuff like that.
Wilson. Now, Wilson just had his head down. Just
almost worked, though, mate. Because that penalty from Wilson is not a good penalty.
No, it was a poor penalty. He side-footed it, and if you see the replay of it, to be quite honest, he almost heals it. It's not even really a solid side-foot either. Mm.
And Krul gets his hand away, and he hits it on the bar.
Full hand.
Does that bounce before the line, then go over?
It bounces, but it's already in.
Is it? All right, okay.
It comes down and goes in.
So the angle I'm at, it bounces, and I'm thinking, Krul's just going to go and pick this up.
I thought it would just
bounce on his line.
If in fairness, to try and be nice, if it had have come back out, Wilson would have just been there anyway. I think Krul will be disappointed because he got a full hand of it.
Yeah.
He got a full hand, so you're expecting it.
Well, this is the Tim Krul that we knew when he was at Newcastle United in his last season or so.
Chris Packett. And it were incredibly lucky, but who gives it? You didn't care, right? You didn't get. He scored. We're 1-0 up. Did you feel would hang on? Did you feel we would have? Yeah, because I did as well.
Because I thought Norwich had nothing to offer. Nothing whatsoever for the full game. And I thought, this is our first win. This is massive. And I did it. And I just want to point out that people that are getting home now from St. James's Park, the noise in that stadium today, especially for Appreciation and the Eddie Howe's Black and White Army chant, non-stop throughout, especially from the Gallagher and the Strawberry Corner, it was loud. And there was one point which you don't see very often, but you know the chant, do you know what it is? I hate this chant, where it's stand up if you love the tune.
I hate
that chant.
Yeah.
It's been going around
for
years and years, mate, hasn't it? Years.
When I was a kid, when I first went.
That's what it just reminds me of being a kid at the ground. It normally starts off in my corner, to be fair, and like it started off in the leases, but obviously you couldn't hear it. That's the ground, and you just saw like it was like a Mexican wave. I'd never seen anything in the ground, like just pockets just standing up and working way
on
around.
The telly. The east stand was all up from what I could see.
What do you call it? I saw them stand up and like leases coming across them, like Melbourne and leases, and I pointed. I said, "Mark, I said, what's going on there?" They were just like standing up. Then all of a sudden, obviously, the noise comes around with it, and the fans in that ground today, phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal for a team that's at 20th in the Premier League.
I was at the Brentford game and I thought that was outstanding. Obviously Eddie Howe wasn't there for that one, of course, but it was technically the first game, if you like, of his reign, even though he wasn't in the dugout, and that atmosphere was amazing, you know. And now I will be fair, I will say that, you know, we talked about it a lot, and I know you hear the odd cliche from some players, but we do deserve a lot of credit for, like, you're sitting rock bottom. And, you know, that we're putting on, the flags are putting on displays and stuff, and the fans are getting behind them as much as they can. And we've come away again with, not winning 14 games. It's just, you know, it's just shit. It really is. It really is. And I hate to say this, but we have not had that bounce at all from the new manager. Do you know, which, and that, I'm not putting on how, I love what he's saying. I love what he's trying to do. It's just our luck, isn't it, that when you get a new manager in, you're expecting something. Brentford at home, for example. Oh, we'll beat Brentford. Mm. Couldn't do that. Arsenal, fair enough, I'll take that one. But today you think it's a must win, and then you get off to the worst possible.
How did it sound on the telly, noise-wise? How did the noise sound on the telly?
It was good. You could hear Eddie Howe's Black and White Army all the time.
If you're listening on the radio, it's a lot louder on the radio, but I think the microphones, when you're looking at the TV production, they turn it down. Like,
of course, because to hear the commentators, you know. Shearer was obviously commentating for the 90. You know,
was he complimentary at times?
He was actually, obviously, he really went into town on Clark, like, and he said at the end of the game, he said, I wish, believe me, if I wasn't on the mic, I would have said a lot worse than what I've said there. That's what he said. But he did say when we scored, he believed, he says, I think they're the better team. He says that we've looked solid.
I think anyone watching that game, hands down, Newcastle are the better team today. They really, really were, especially with 10 men.
That's what it is. I mean, because obviously we never had the ball, so we didn't necessarily, play football well, but we're organised, you know, because there's two sides to every game, but we're organised, but never look like conceding, which, in fairness, what I will say, every week I have normally watch it, every time the opposition comes forward, I think we're going to concede.
Yeah.
That was different today. You could put that down to the opposition, that Norwich was shed. You could say that, but I'd also like to try and give us some credit that we did well in that one.
So, the equaliser. other side of the field from where I am, other side of the ground, towards the Leeds end there. And Krull does a save. And to me, from where I'm sat...
Dubravka does
a save. Sorry, what I say? Krull.
Krull, yeah.
Oh, God.
Went back, I've come back
10 years, fuck me.
Stand up.
So Dubravka makes a save. And from my angle, is that even on target? No, in here.
Christ, no.
Yeah.
No. The lad crosses it, right? Now, a few things I will quickly say. Norwich were moving the ball too slow all game. That was the problem they had. I don't know why they weren't moving it quicker. And every time they got the ball out wide, for some reason they wouldn't cross. I was like, well, you're insane. They then put a cross in. Now, Dubravka, there is a lad coming in. Don't get us wrong here. There's a lad sliding in. And Dubravka obviously clearly can see him. But it's poor goalkeeping. It's something I would expect Arlo to do. Yeah. I mean, he jumps in the air, he gets two hands to it and just palms it straight.
There's a lot of people in the comments saying he could have caught it.
100%, yeah.
Yeah.
100%, yeah. He's caught harder. In that game he did, to be quite... He caught a great corner, by the way, in the first half. It was under the bar almost, he caught.
That's normally the best thing about Krull.
Yeah.
Like, the Krull dominance again. In the six... Have I said it again? Fuck's sake!
Yeah.
He's wound your head. He's wound me up because he was pointing at me saying, where's the goal? He's wound us up.
You're giving him loads of compliments here as well.
Fucking hate him as well. So Dubravka, that's normally the best thing about him. Six-yard box, his dominance. Yeah. In that 6 yard box and collecting the ball is normally second and none.
Listen, it's a funny one because if Darlo does that mistake, my Twitter is on fire. I didn't say a thing, by the way, for Dubravka. Now, what I would also say is Dubravka had a good game. I mean, he did some good saves. The one right at the death was an amazing save with his left leg. But he has to do better there. He has to do better. Now, let's also just comment, my word, what a finish.
And guess who it lands to? Dr. Newcastle will see you now.
Right. Yep. And Newcastle, so you know, as we mentioned yesterday, hasn't scored in so however many years.
It's a left footed volley in the top corner.
It's
that
a hell of a strike. It honestly is. It's one of them where
it's just boom.
Oh, it's perfect. It it couldn't have hit it better. It
up and down so fast, isn't it?
And it's annoying because it was the first chance. As I think I mentioned you walking in, they did have one chance in the first half. The ball came across and Lewis managed to block it. But other than that, they had nothing, but it was a great finish. I have to give credit there. It was a very good finish. But again, an error. You could say it's an error. Dubravka, honestly, there's people in the comments saying he should catch it.
There's a lot of people saying that he has to catch it. Yeah.
I think if he doesn't catch it, right?
A lot of people saying he either catch it or he has to punch it away.
Punch it away. Exactly that, yeah. He goes, because he's got all, there's nobody around him.
Many people mentioned what Krull should have done.
No, I can imagine that, yeah. I can quite imagine that. But to be fair about Krull as well, I've got 10 men. We never tested him once, did we? No. We never tested him once.
Not once.
And
the time we did test him, he nearly saved it from the penalty.
I don't care if you've got 10 men. I'm sorry. I'll defend that we were hard to beat. Very, very, we looked good as a unit. Them didn't look like scoring, but I still believe we should be doing more with 10 men. Even if it is 10, you're playing against a poor side. The side to a Bob on the right, what's he called? Sergeant? My heavens above. Terrible player. He had this ginger mop thing. Awful. And I was looking at some of their players thinking, we should be doing better than this even with 10 men. But, you know, we would have won that game with 11, I feel. I do feel that we would have won. It's easy to say that, of course, but I think we would have.
I do. I agree with
Wilson
you,
said that after the game you interviewed.
Did he?
He said, obviously, that you're captain for the first time you've scored, blah, blah, blah. And he almost had to bite his tongue a bit at the start because it's about clock, you know, and he was like, we're furious type of thing. And then he went, but listen, we're not going to dig out any of our teammates. We're a team. We'll lose together, blah, blah, blah. We'll do mistakes together, et cetera. And then he mentioned that. He says, I definitely feel we would have won that game if I had 11. So.
To be fair, though, you don't necessarily have to obviously call those players out. Clark has let his teammates down tonight massively.
There's nobody, to be fair, there's nobody.
Clark probably beating himself up.
Of course, no one will feel worse than what he does. I mean, let's be very clear about that, 100%. But that doesn't mean if he came out tomorrow and says, I'm really sorry, guys, that doesn't make the error go away. Do you know what I mean? At the end of the day, you're a Premier League footballer, you're a very experienced defender as well. And you have to know that you can't get away with that.
There's a couple of shouts for Hayden's chance.
Yes.
I can't remember that. Mate,
so Wilson got to the sort of corner flag area, to your left.
Oh, I do and remember. And then Hayden cuts it across.
Yeah, that's what he was trying to do. And in fairness, Krull gets a finger out of it, which almost puts it in. Obviously, Saints not even expecting that ball, which is probably wrong, really, but he's not expecting anyone to get there. And he flashes it across the goal. So that was probably as close as we'll come in that half, yeah.
What positives are you taking out of this? Resilience?
I would say I was really impressed that they didn't give up. if I'm being honest. I thought there was a real togetherness of the players.
I think we've seen this as well for a few games now as well. Obviously, going goals down and things like that and coming back into the game. But today showed something else.
I thought so. I thought they could have... What I will say is that there's times we've been relegated where I've seen players in the team not fight for the shirt at all. And I felt today that after going down to 10 men, they were still united as a group. We worked really hard. They were switched on. They were grafting. It's hard, though, isn't it, to take any positives, really, because of how important the game was, if that makes sense.
The only positive that you can take from it is that you haven't lost the game because of the sending off.
Yes, that's true. I mean, let's be fair, a lot of us are on this table and a lot of people point in the comments and say, let's try and get 4 points. Four points would be minimum, you know. So we're getting the one. Now there's a lot of pressure going into Saturday, which I said to you I'd much rather the other way. But anyway, we didn't lose. So of course, that is a positive. The lads stayed together really well. But it's hard, isn't it, though, because of the sending off, you feel like it's a real chance missed. Because of the send-off.
It is. And I think when we were sat here yesterday, you're thinking that Norwich game, get the 3 points in that, then it's a little bit of a breather for the Burnley game. Now, that Burnley game has just gone to that level now, and you're thinking, if you don't get 3 points now,
that's it.
We're gone.
That's it.
I'm gone. For me, I honestly believe that, and I'm normally pretty confident, especially what I've seen over the last few weeks. But with obviously that Leeds result tonight, they've pulled away. So now we need more than 6 points to get out of that relegation zone. Burnley have a game in hand on us.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, obviously Burnley have two games. One of them's Tottenham, and obviously they play tomorrow. But I think if we don't beat Burnley. Even if we beat Burnley, it might still not be enough. But there is a lot of games to go. My issue is, though, as I seen a tweet the night that I think I read out to you, was, you know, you've drew against Southampton, you've drew against Brentford, you've drew against Norwich. There's a lot of teams that we should be beating. We have to be beaten, to be honest, and we're not.
It's that mini league, as Rafa used to refer to it. We're bottom of that mini league as well as the overall league at the minute.
I think you're bottom of the league and you haven't won a game in 14. You're in deep trouble. You're in deep trouble, and that's why that sending off. I kind of seem to move away from it of just how damn important it was, and how much it's killed with chances. But I guess all you can try and do is say that. To be fair, I thought Lewis did really well coming in from the cold, if you like.
I think those are some of the positives. Yeah, I think that you can't look past Fernandez now. That's huge positive. Yeah, you can't look past him now. You really can't. Obviously, I know Dubravka, we just spoke about him, should have done better for the goal, but he's back in there.
He did play well, if I'm honest.
He did.
In terms
he
of did. That, just to comment that Shea one where Shea obviously sort of like flicks over the lad's head and loses.
So Shea does an overhead kick sort of thing, wins the ball.
Yeah, he tries to just chip it over his head and he does fall over, actually.
So he collects the ball, then tries something daft again.
Tries to take someone on again, and the lad takes
off. Lost it, and he's away.
Now, the role's reversed there. Obviously, Shea just lets him go. If you know what I mean, whereas Clark pulled him back, of course, he's running towards goal, and I think this is 94th minute here, man, or 92nd minute. This is it. This is classic Newcastle. But it's a fantastic save by Dubravka, to be fair. So,
like we've said, Mankiw back in there, Lewis in there. Decent games by those two. Once again, 10 men down. I'm going to keep on going back to that caveat. We're 10 men down, so it can't be too crucial.
Joe Linton, another good performance in his belt. Shelby was good.
I think there is a handful of positives in a shitty situation because of, once again, that sending off.
We are really, you know, I think it'd be quite easy to really go in on them and say this is it, we're done. But ironically, and people might think it's stupid, but we've actually been quite positive, I think, in terms of, I know we haven't won a must-win game, it feels, but I do feel...
It changes your perspective in that ninth minute, doesn't it?
It massively does, and as I've said before, in terms of how I generally feel that every one of them grafted the night, like, and they give it the best they could, you know, and sometimes us as fans is what we want to see. That's all. Sometimes we ask, and I think nobody. For example, you might have gone by the stage, but Eddie Howe done the best.
I was there right till the end. He came and walked a corner. And what I do want to mention is that at the full time whistle, there was a pocket full at the back of the Gallagher booing.
Yeah, there's a lot of boos, yeah.
I thought, what?
A lot of boos,
I was like, if you just watched something else compared to me, I don't get that. Like, I really don't get it.
I, obviously, people are, you know, I don't mean to be sort of stupid, but you know, people have probably been to work all day the day thinking, we're going to get the first win tonight, and they're probably really being geared up to win that game.
Yeah, but like I still think perspective changes straight away.
Oh, I agree. And obviously it hasn't for them. And all them are looking at is, yet again, we haven't won a game of football. But I'll be honest, when I heard the boos, I went, oh God.
Yeah, like, I was really shocked. Yeah. Weird. There wasn't many. There really wasn't many. It didn't last very long. I'll end on this, Dinger.
Okay.
Who gets your man of the match this evening?
Oh, Joe Linton, without any shadow of a doubt.
Agree with you.
Yeah, without any shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely fantastic tonight.
It really was.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody who has been watching, and thanks if you are listening back to the audio. Hopefully this has been a bit of a boost, really, for you. On the walk here, I was spitting feathers about that game, but because of the incident early on. And I think if you look at it from the outside in, when you've had a chance to let the dust settle, most of the players grafted their arse off tonight. Absolutely grafted their arse off.
What I would say as well is, if I'm just judging it on one game of football here, just 90 minutes. If I was a neutral and I looked at us and I looked at Norwich, I would say we had more chance of staying up than Norwich.
Mm.
Based on what I've seen tonight. I thought them were dreadful, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, of course we need to be better than Burnley. We need more than just to be better than Norwich, but I do think looking at them two sides, I think, you know, we're probably better than them. So there's one we can maybe get away from. But it's all on to Saturday now. I mean, the Saturday's app, it's just huge. It's just absolutely huge. And that worries us in the sense of pressure for the players. That's all it is. Yeah. It's pressure on the players. That's all I worry about, because them will know now, Christ, we haven't won this one. We have to win Saturday.
Does Lascelles come in?
Yeah. I don't want him to, but I think Howe will definitely bring him back. I do.
Yeah.
I don't want it. I mean, I have to say that again. I don't want it.
We definitely don't want it.
But I think, I personally, I would stay with the same back four that we finished the game. Yeah. But I just can't see it. I can't see it.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks very much for listening this evening. Nearly 400 of you. So if you do want to like the video, that would be fantastic.
It is 11 o'clock at night and we are trying.
Yeah, it's like it's 5 to 11. Yeah. We've came straight here. Decker's drove from South Shields to get here to Gateshead. I've came straight off the match. I walked over the high level bridge. Didn't even get the metro. I've walked across. We're doing this for you guys. So thank you very much. So please like the video. If you do want to become a member, even better, help us out a little bit. There's 130 odd members at the moment. It's $2.99 a month or $4.99 a month. You can choose whichever amount you want to donate. You do get access to early videos, and you also get access to the Gallagher Shots private Telegram group, which is similar to WhatsApp. And we'll have a decent bit of Newcastle United crack in there as well.
Have you got OnlyFans at all?
Not yet. We've got Twitch. We've got everything. We've got something else. What was it? What's that social media called that the kids use?
Don't know.
Twitch is the gaming one, isn't it? What's the other one? TikTok.
Oh, TikTok.
Apparently, we've got a TikTok, which we've never ever used. It's been set up, but
I'm not even in the Telegram group. I know me.
Decker will join the Telegram group. I'm going to make Decker join the Telegram group as soon as I click.
So, is that just based like WhatsApp? Is it? Yeah,
it's like WhatsApp. Yeah. So, what happens when you become a member? Look, I'm selling it now. When you become a member, on the community page, there's a code and a link. So you click on the link, then you download the app, which, like I said, it's very similar to your WhatsApp groups.
Okay.
And you put the code in, then you just get straight in the group like that.
And how many people is in that?
There's about 70 at the minute, I think.
So then if I just say, like, hi, everyone, they can just comment back like WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Just like
a private group. Yeah.
Right.
So come join that. $2.99 a month.
Yeah. Don't slag us off too much.
It's decent crack. It is decent crack.
No, I'd like to join it.
It's decent crack. Thanks, everybody. See you later.
Thanks for watching.
Tim Krull still doesn't play forward. See you later.